I'm not too sure. Well, first off, let's do this. Good morning. I am not so sure, but I may be a little bit paranoid, but I don't think I am. When the assignments for Joshua came out, I was assigned Joshua 23. We're going to find out what this is. Turn your Bibles to Joshua 23, and I think you'll understand why I may be just a little bit paranoid this morning. Joshua 23 starts out by saying that Joshua was old and advanced in years. One other version says Joshua was waxed old and stricken in age. All I know is this: if you come by my office and there is a wax figure sitting in the chair, the questioning needs to start with the preaching team. Hey, you got to understand something. This is sort of, you know, we're going to talk about transitions today. I got to let you know that I was the young guy on the preaching team 20 years ago. I was the young guy. I don't know whether the preaching team is trying to communicate anything, but let me just tell you is this. The text we're going to be exploring today is going to be talking about transitions. And you might say that our entire life is a transition, and that's probably right. I love this quote where it says, your story, your life story is a story of transition. You are always leaving one chapter behind and moving on to the next. While our life may be a story of transitions, let me just say this. There are some that are a little bit more pronounced, aren't they? Right now, what we have, and you'll see these folks walking around Sunset, there are parents who are crying. And if you see a crying parent, it's because their kids are about ready to go to college, all right? And then there's those who are graduating, and all of a sudden they have to do this scary world of adulting. We think about marriage where you were just doing life as a single and now you're doing it together. Hey, I got to let you know, Zach, who did our communion, he's going to be a daddy in 2 weeks and he just needs to be terrified. I want to give you those, you know, those comforting words, all right? He just left, didn't he? Where did he go? See, he's so scared he left the assembly. Leaving and starting a new job. I mean, the excitement of a new opportunity, but the fear of just being around a new place, new people. How about retirement? The job you've been doing for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, all of a sudden you're not doing that anymore. I had planned to have Rodney come up and give a testimonial, but he's not out of bed yet. And then there's faith transitions, right? These are the transitions that talk to us about how the depth of our relationship with God. Think about some of these faith transitions. The transition when you realize that you're going to have to do something different with your faith. The faith that you grew up is not enough anymore, and you're going to have to make your faith your own. That's a faith transition. Or how about this? When you encounter some severe trial and it shakes you to the core of who you are, and you begin to wonder if God is even present and if he even cares. Or how about the faith transition when all of a sudden you experience hypocrisy in the body of Christ, and all of a sudden you're looking at some people at church and you're going something like this: I have people in the world who are acting better than the people in the church. Or how about this one? When you see evil unchecked in our world and you're wondering if God is even aware or he even knows what is going on. And these are just a few of life and faith transitions, right? And what we begin to realize is this: it's not a matter if we're going to have transition. The question is when we do transition. And as Christians, we got to ask these things. As a Christian, what am I going to do with the transition in my life? Or a better question is this: as a Christian, how does God want me to handle the transitions in my life? Our culture, we don't do very well with these questions. Usually what we do with life transitions or faith transitions is we just rush through those things. We rush through those things as if they were just another thing on our daily to-do list. And honestly, this type of lifestyle, the lifestyle that we lead here, it robs us of understanding what God has in store for us when we encounter life transitions. And here's my confession. I've not been attuned to the richness of handling my life transitions. I think in a way that is that God wants me to understand what's going on in his work of transformation. And so today we go to Joshua. We go to Joshua chapter 23, and I hope you're there. And what we're going to do is we're going to see how Joshua led the people of Israel through what would be a life national transition. And so what we want to be able to do is extract some principles from Joshua chapter 23. And in Joshua 23, what we were going to do is this: how did Israel face this huge transition that they were in? As I said earlier, we usually handle life transitions at the speed of light. But I want to let you know that Israel never did that. Israel never handled life transition or national transition at the speed of light. Their backdrop was always through the eyes of covenant. And I want to stop here for a minute. I want to do just a tad bit of just teaching here, just a second. I want us to understand the importance and the significance of covenant, because it's in the backdrop of covenant, God's relationship with man and God's relationship with Israel, that all transitions took place. It was through the eyes of covenant. And so I want us to define covenant. A covenant relationship is defined as an agreement between God and his people in which God makes promises to his people that requires certain conduct from them. Another definition is this: it is a sacred agreement, a mutual promise between God and a person or a group of people. Here's what I want you to think through is this. Every time you hear the word covenant, I want you to think relationship. I want you to think relationship. And I know covenant is a little bit deeper than that, but it helps us with that. So remember, all significant transitions are viewed through the lens of a relationship with God. So transition through the eyes of covenant. What does that look like? What does that mean? Now, let's recount what's going on here in Joshua chapter 23. You'll notice as you look at this and you glance at this, the people of Israel are now entering into a time of rest. The promised land has been conquered. Now, we know as we read Judges chapter 1, there's still these pockets of resistance, right? But overall, the land has been conquered. They've been fighting for 7 years now, and now is a time of rest. Not only that, as I said earlier, Joshua, their general, is old and advanced in age. Joshua is about ready to die. And the statement he uses is this: I'm about ready to go the way of the earth. There is a transition going on here. The land has been allotted. And so Israel is coming to this national transition. And Joshua is going to lead them through this transition, just like he led them through battle. And I want to let you know something. Joshua leading the people of Israel through this transition is just as important as any battle that he led them in. That's how important transition is. That's how important transition through the eyes of covenant are. And I want you to know there's a pattern to this. There's a pattern as we look at transition through the eyes of covenant. It's the same. Joshua is going to use the same pattern as Moses did at the end of Deuteronomy. It's the same thing over and over again. And what's going to happen here is this: when we view and when they view transition through the eyes of covenant, they began to understand fully what was going on in the midst of this transition. So what does that look like? Covenant life transitions. Covenant life transitions always begin with remembering who God is and what he did. It always starts that way. Number two is this: covenant transitions come with some sort of invitation to choose. There's a choice that's offered in this transition of covenant. Number three is covenant transitions always include blessings and curses. Now, there's some other minor things to this, but overall, those are the main things. So, as I said earlier, it's not a matter if when we'll go through transitions, but when we do. You know, I look out and I know this. I know many of you, you're going through some very significant transitions. Now, Zach, I gave you a hard time, but you walked out of service, but that's okay. You know, they're going to be, you know, parents, you know, mom and dad and that whole experience. I had to talk about Dawn. Dawn's going tomorrow to have a heart thing. I told them that I hope nothing's wrong with him in the heart. We can't guarantee anything about the personality, but the heart, we hope, is okay, you know. I think about Rhonda, who sits right over here, and we gave a couple weeks ago the cup of blessing for her to go to give it to her brother who is going through significant health issues, to find out this morning that their son, the one we're going to give the cup of blessing to, was killed in a motorcycle accident at 40. And I look out and there's a lot of life transitions going on, right? And sometimes they could be very, very, very difficult, but I want to let you know, difficult or not, significant or not, all transitions should lead to some sort of spiritual transformation. All transitions should take us to another level of what we need to look like and be like in Jesus. So the first thing in this journey that Joshua lays out in Joshua chapter 23, what I want to do is just go through that. But the first thing is this: we need to stop, we need to understand, and we need to appreciate the moment in time of transitions. Can we admit that we do life too fast, right? I mean, we just do life too fast. The year just started, right? Now, they say that as you get older, life goes a lot faster. I don't know about that. But all I know is this, is that we travel at the speed of light. We travel too fast. And like I said earlier, I kind of confess that I haven't handled all my life transitions as well as I thought I would. And one of them is this empty nesting. I have not handled that well. I'm serious. I'm not joking about that. I've not handled that well. And I don't think I've fully appreciated what God is doing in the moments of empty nesting yet. So how do we do that? We've got to stop. We've got to understand and appreciate the moment. Turn to Joshua chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. It's a very, very subtle statement, a very subtle statement, but it's an important one. And it says this: Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all of Israel, their elders, their leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, and it fills in the blank. But here's the point. Can you imagine what the people of Israel were thinking when Joshua summoned them? He's going, I think I could hear from the people, Joshua, hey, this is fine, but we just now started resting. Joshua, hey, listen, we got some battles to fight. There's still some pockets of resisting. Joshua, don't you understand that there's plants to, you know, we got a plant, we got to, you know, sow the seed, we got to get a crop going here. Joshua, do we really need to come listen to you, this reminiscing as you get older? And Joshua said this: yes, and not only do I want you to be here, I'm demanding you to come to Shechem. I'm demanding you to come to Shechem because there are some things that need to be said in the moment of this transition. And I don't know, as we face life transition, what stopping, understanding, and appreciation in the moment looks like for you. But I got to think it has to do with this: some solitude. I think some prayer. I think maybe some time spent in God's Word to stop, to understand and appreciate this moment. Do you want your life transition to be transformational? Stop, understand, and appreciate. But in order for us to understand that life, that transitions are supposed to be life and faith transformational, it has to be centered on the character of God and who He is and what He has done for us. And so the question is this, as we look at Joshua chapter 23, what did Joshua say to the people of Israel about God that helped them with this life and this national transition? And what is it about the nature and the character of God that will help us as we encounter life's transitions? And Joshua, there's a lot of different things, but as a whole, he said three things to them. Remember who God is and what He wants, but here's this. Remember this, the first thing he said. Remember that God is on your side. Remember that God is on your side. And those are the verses up there where you find that. God is on your side, Israel, over and over again. Here's what he said. God is for Israel. And he proved it over and over again. But one thing I want you to notice, look at verse 3. And you see that word, that little phrase there, for his sake? You see that? Literally, that is one word, and it means face. For his sake, or for your sake, is one word, and it just means face. And I think what he's trying to communicate there more than anything else is this, that God's presence is with Israel in the midst of this transition. Face. Isn't that interesting? For your sake is literally just one word, and it means face. Transitions could be really, really dark places, can't they? Transitions can also be a wonderful place where God is present. So in the midst of your transitions, here's the word I want you to remember. Face. Not only is God on your side, but God fights for you. Again, we see this principle over and over and over again, right? Joshua chapter 23, verse 5. God drove out and pushed your enemies away. 23:9. God drove out great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. How about this one? Joshua chapter 23 and verse 10. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you. So in the midst of our life transitions, how do I know if God is fighting for me? How do I know that? How do I know that he's there by my side fighting with me through life transition? And it boils down to one single word, Jesus. How do I know? How do I know, God, if you're fighting for me? Jesus. Because Jesus, his life, his ministry, the cross, and the resurrection said this, there is nothing I will not do to fight for you. Jesus. Not only does God is on our side and he fights for it, but he keeps his promises. Israel stood at Shechem. They stood at Shechem. And at Shechem, I think their minds had to go back to Abraham. And Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, all right, 14 through 17, God's speaking to Abraham, and he goes, listen, here's what I want you to do is this. What I want you to do is I want you to look to the north, and I want you to look to the south, and I want you to look to the east, and I want you to look to the west, and I want to let you know something is this. All of this is yours. Now, Israel comes to Shechem, believing that God keeps his promises. And I want you to know this, whatever transition you're facing, I want you to realize that there's some promises that God's going to keep with you. And the first one is this, his presence. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, right? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He promises his presence. He promises us completion. I love Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says this, he who began a good work in you will complete that work. It's a promise of completion. And then I love this one, a promise of a home. John chapter 14, right? Verse 2. Someday I'm preparing a home for you. And someday I'm going to come get you. But I want to promise you this. I want to promise a home. And just like Joshua kept, just like God kept his promises with Abraham as he stood there and he looked all around and he said, this is yours. And just as God kept the promises of Israel that he said, I was going to give you this land and you're going to find rest, you're going to come to the promised land, the same promises hold true for us, right? And many more. I just picked out three, right? There's so many promises of God. But here's what we need to know. Whatever promise there is of God, he always keeps it. Amen? So, life and faith transitions. God's on our side. God keeps his promises. God fights for us. But transitions also bring choices. As the people of Israel gathered at Shechem, once again, it was this idea here of this. Israel, here's what God has done for you, and I'm going to give you another choice. Transition bring choices. I'm going to give you another choice today to serve and follow God. I'm going to give you another choice of fidelity. So what was Joshua, what were the people, what choices were in front of the people of Israel as they stood at Shechem with Joshua? The first one is this. You need to choose to be strong. 23:6. Now remember how Joshua starts, right? In four verses, three times God's going to go, be strong and courageous. And over again, one of the themes is this. He says, as Joshua did at the very first of the book, I want you to choose to be strong, Joshua. And again, offers this to the people of Israel. I want you to choose to be strong. Not only do you need to choose to be strong, but you need to choose to obey. And he uses terminology like this. I want you to stay focused on obedience, and I don't want you to turn to the left, and I don't want you to turn to the right. Not only did he ask them to choose to be strong and choose to obey, he says, I want to choose you to be different. And he says, here's what I want you to do is this. When you go into the land, I don't want you to look like anything in the land. I don't want you to marry the people they marry. I want you to be completely different. Not only that, he says this, I want you to choose to hold fast. Now, I love this. Look at 23:8 just real quickly is this. He challenged Israel to hold fast. Now, I want to give you I did a little research here, and this is another cool word, just like face was for your sake. The word hold fast here is the same word used in Genesis chapter 2 when it talks about a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife or cleave to each other. That cleaving there, that sense of holding fast or chasing after hard is the same word here. So when the people of Israel are standing there and they hear Joshua say this, I want you to hold fast. Their mind races through this whole thing about cleaving to God, holding fast to him, running and chasing after him. And finally is this, choose to love God. This is a central theme in Israel. You think about the Shema for just a second. Israel is to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and might. It's the same words repeated. I want you to take a look at your bulletin real quick, please. I want you to take a look at your bulletin. And I want you to take a look at this list. And here's what I'd like for you to do is this. I want you to think about your transitions. I want you to think about what you're going through in life. I want you to think about choosing. And of the things right now, what is the one thing you need to choose to do with God in the midst of your transition? What is that one thing? What do you need to choose to do? And here's what I want you to do is this, is I want you to write down at that point right there what you need to do. And what I want to encourage you to do this next week is this. I want you to choose to do something in that area, whether it's obedience, whether it's holding on, whether it's loving God. What do you need to choose to do in the midst of the transition that you're going through right now? Not only do we need to have our transitions in the midst of who God is and what he did, and transitions bring an opportunity for us to choose something. But I want to let you know something is this, is that covenant, there's this idea of curses and blessings. Now, I know that we are not real familiar with this terminology, right? We don't really think in terms like this, but I want to let you know, every transition, and especially the ones in covenant, that the backdrop of that, there's always these blessings and this curses, right? And Israel demonstrates the blessings of choosing and remembering God. They come to Shechem as victors. They come to Shechem defeating and counting and looking at the promises of God and what he has done for them. They come as victors. Why? Because they remembered what God had done and they chose to follow him. And now the blessings is this, is the promised land. Just like there's blessings to our lives when we choose that. When we choose to follow God, there's blessings, right? But there's the other side. There's curses. We don't have time to sort of trace this out into the book of Judges. It would be a good way to the next study. But what we find is we find a people who are struggling with keeping faithfulness in the midst of transition. And what we find in the book of Judges, seriously, one of the darker books in the Old Testament, is a book that God says, if you don't follow me, there's curses. Have you, and we all have this, do you know somebody that went through a transition and on the backside of it, they were less faithful? I do. They decided after this transition, God just can't be. And on the backside of this, on the backside of transition, they decided not to follow God anymore. And it's what Trey said a couple weeks ago in his sermon, and I really loved what he said. He says, listen, when we don't follow God, things just don't happen well with us, right? I mean, life just doesn't work out the way it is. And so do you remember that conversation Trey had with us? And that's what happens. That's the curses part of this. That's the curses part. So today, as I conclude, remember how we started? Transitions. We're all in a sort of transition, but and let's not miss these wonderful opportunities. But let's remember during these transitions, let's remember this. Let's remember what God's done for us. And not only do we need to remember what God's done for us, God brings choices, and these choices bring blessings and curses. But more importantly, let's do this. Let's determine today that whatever transition that we're going to go through in life, that it's going to be transformational for us. It's going to be transformational for us. And that after we go through this life transformation, we will be, look, act more like Jesus. Amen? Today, if you're in a life transition and we could help you, come as we stand and as we sing.